Shnei Chai Sura. The Pasuk tells us, those are the year spans of Sura, Meir Shona, Esrim Shona, Sheva Shona, 127 years. Shnei Chai Sura is being repeated again, second time. Those are the years of the life of Sura Imeinu. So Rashi brings down, what is the repeat? Enough, those are the lifespan of Sura Imeinu, 127 years. What is the Shnei Chai Sura? No, again repeated. So Rashi brings down, it's a Chazal. Kulam shovim l'toyve. All of them were equally good. Good? Well, they were equally good. Now we know very well that Sura Imeinu went through in 127 years, many ordeals, many sufferings. First of all, she was childless till the age of 90. And then she had to deal with her stepson Yishmael. And all along. And finally, she's only 127 years old, she's losing Yitzchak. She heard that Yitzchak was almost slaughtered. And she passed away because of passed out of it. So, how could a Torah say, Kulam Shovim L'Toyva? All are equally good. She had many ups and downs. I heard once the Mendel Weinbach, the Moshe, was very nice, it's Rosh Hashiva for Smech in Yerushalayim. Then science fiction had invented a certain device, a certain stopper, a certain button, that if you could get a hand on that, you push that button, you could freeze that moment forever. Wait for your happy moment to get ready for the circle line, you push that button, and that's the way you're going to be now forever happy. Never gonna lose it. Of course, people would be very anxious to get that device and have this opportunity to freeze that moment. Do you think anyone ever will push that button? People gonna walk around, and with a finger on that button, waiting for the moment they're willing to settle on, and they're never gonna have the nerve ever to push that button. But whatever they're gonna come to, it's never good enough to settle with, right? The Torah wants to say, Sura Imeinu, if you would have given this device, she would have pushed the button every moment on her life. Every moment, Kulam Shovel Atari, she would settle for every moment. She would accept every moment of her life. And the Torah says, so Kulam Shovim Atari, all of them equally good. When she was childless, and so on and so on, everything that she went through in life, she would say that this moment is the most treacherous moment, the best moment, the most profitable moment, the most acceptable moment. She would always push the button. Now, the question is, how do you do this? It's a very big, tall order to us, but we speak about in these terms. Before anything, I would like to share with you a new, very beautiful insight which occurred to me in Israel. I think an absolute beautiful insight. Also, goes a little bit against us men, but a little bit against women too. When the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu and they told him that in a year from now you're going to have children, they gave the Besuit, gave their children, and the Torah said, "V'tifchak Sora bekirba." Sora laughed in herself. In herself, she laughed. Rashi says she looked at herself. She saw this old woman. Everything, all the natural organs are gone and crumbled and dried out and things. And she said, "This body ever gonna have a child? I mean, how is it possible?" And she was laughing like it's a joke. And Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and says to Avraham, "Why did Sarah left? Why did Sarah not believe? It's not possible that Hashem can do anything, everything." So first there's a big question. Why is Hashem going to Avraham Avinu? You want to give her a peace of mind, you want to give Musar, so go straight to Sarah. Sarah was communicating with Hashem. Why did Hashem have to say, Loshon Hara Rechilus, go to Avraham Avinu? You know, Sarah left. Sarah was questioning it. And then Avraham Avinu goes to Islam and says, so why did you leave? Why did you laugh? And Sarah says, I didn't laugh. Sarah denies it. V'tichachash Sarah. She denies it. She didn't laugh. Now, when he says, "Can't you hope you did laugh?" If Hashem tells me you left, that obviously you left. It's very hard. Sorry, maybe first of all, there's a question first question is, how does Sodom Aynu left? Because Baruch Hu says such a thing. We see a parsha before, Hashem already spoke to Avraham Avinu, you're going to have a child. Avraham Avinu was older, was 10 years older than Sodom Aynu. And when Hashem tells Avraham you're going to left, Avraham was laughing, was happy, Yitzchak Avraham was laughing. And he didn't doubt it. And the Targum says he was happy. Hashem says he's going to have a child. He accepted it. He was very happy. Also, Avraham Avinu also left, but his laughter was happiness. And the laughter of Sodom was cynical. Like, how is it possible? How this body will ever give birth to a child? So we have a question. First, why did Avraham Avinu so flatly accept it and was happy, although he was older? Sodom Aynu, how come Sodom Aynu just was bigger in the Avraham Avinu Ruach HaKodesh? And Shmuel, when Hashem said, listen to Sodom. Chazal tells us that Sodom was greater than Avraham Avinu Ruach HaKodesh. So she was great. How come she does laugh? And then how come Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and says, why did Sodom say the laugh? Go bowl her out. Give him Musa. Avraham Avinu comes to Sodom, why did you laugh? He says, I didn't laugh. She denies it. And Avraham says, no, you did laugh. Hashem wouldn't tell me. Hashem knows what you did. I got the orders that said you did laugh. How do we understand this? And then why does Hashem go to Avraham? Go straight to Sodom Aynu. Give it to Musa straight. And the answer is as follows. The basic difference between a man and a woman is, a man is brain. A man is deciding the value of a man. Everything is governed, everything is rationalized through seichel, through the intellect. Doesn't mean that he hasn't got a heart, but not the heart sets the mood, sets the mode, and sets the person. What sets a man's person is his rational mind. That's what he is. The woman also has a mind, but not from doubt and colors. Her mind is not what sets her mood, sets her personality. She's regular, she's feeling, she's the heart. The woman is the heart, the man is the brain. To live with your brain, to live with your intellect, it's very easy to accept anything and everything because, you know, you're not grounded. You know? Hashem says he's going to have a child. He's going to have him in his brain. He accepts us. No, why not? Hashem could do everything. He doesn't look at himself, I'm an old man, my wife is an old woman. How is this possible? She doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it totally with his brain. With his brain, everything is possible, acceptable, and he's happy. I'm going to have a child. But Sodom Aynu, she is the heart. Intellectually, she also accepted it and she didn't laugh. She was just as happy as Avraham Avinu. But emotionally, she faces with Yitzchak sort of the kirba, sort of had laughed and was questioning it in her insight. And the Rega shows answering, questioning it. Now, who knows the depth of her heart? The Kim Yirulalev, only Hashem knows what's going on in her heart. So Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and says, Lama Zetzachukasu, why did sort of laugh? So Avraham Avinu comes to him, why did you laugh? So he said, I didn't laugh. Just like you didn't laugh, I didn't laugh either. I was just as good as you. You accepted it happily. In my mind, I was equal with you. I have a part to me which you don't know. You have a part to me which you don't feel of man. Then it comes into the depth of the woman's role. In that role, of the woman's role, that's none of your business, that you don't understand. Says, why did I laugh? I didn't laugh. You didn't laugh, I didn't laugh either. You were happy, I was also happy. Intellect, I was also happy. And that's a very... No man could understand the role of a woman, which is the more the inside, the inside, the emotional part of the woman. That's why did Hashem go to Avraham Avinu? To say, why did Sarah laugh? Why didn't go straight to Sarah? Actually, it was a psak. It was actually a complaint to Avraham. You weren't a proper husband. If you would have done proper the job, she wouldn't have liked it in her heart too. Because the role of a man is to make her wife confident, to bridge the brain to the heart. Moich sharat alalev. The clarity of a man has to be so confident and so sure and has to so much exercise with his wife until to bring up, to penetrate into the wife's depth of the heart that everything which knowledge knows that the woman should get it. And if Sarah had not reached that depth, that in her deep, deep down in her feelings, she was skeptical, she was laughing at, she says, Avraham, it's your fault, you didn't do a good job. If you would have really loved her and give her the absolute self-confidence, and that's the greatest, as I said, it's a little bit against men. A man has to do a better job with the wife. But it's also against women that no matter how much intellectually she is, you know, it does not mean that you reach your feelings, it reaches your bottom. It goes into your instinctive feelings. But if it does, to be taken, the trust and the reliance on Hashem which we have from our real insight is much higher than the man's betochen. The woman's betochen stands at a much higher level than the man's betochen. And that's the reason Avraham, Hashem said to Avraham, listen to Sori Imenu. Sori Imenu is exactly how to educate, what is good for a child, what is not to a child. There was also an intellectual discussion between Avraham and Sori Imenu about Ishmael, to chase Ishmael out. I think I mentioned it once even, so mention it again. What was the situation? Yitzchak was already 2 years old, and they saw that Ishmael is metzachik, is making fun, light-headed, is spoiling Avraham Avinu. Ishmael is already 15 years old, Yitzchak is only 2 years old. He's misbehaving. Ishmael is misbehaving. I like to call it television in the house, you know, giving bad influences. So somebody comes to Avraham, chase out this child. He's spoiling our children. He would not inherit my child. Chase him out from the house. I don't want to see him in the house. And the Pasuk says, Vayera, Vayena Avraham Oid, was very hard in the eyes of Avraham Oid as well because of his child. So Pashup Shat is, it was very hard on him because of his child, Ishmael. Ishmael was his child. It wasn't Sora's child. She is a stepmother. And the stepmother is asking to chase out his son. So he was very unhappy. So on the superficial level, the debate was that Sora couldn't care less about Ishmael, but Avraham Avinu does because it's his son. That's very hard to say. Sodomani gave Hagar to his and raised her. All of a sudden she becomes so mean. And if she has to become mean, how come Avraham Avinu doesn't understand this? So the Pashup Shat is that Avraham Avinu was hard on Avraham Avinu to chase out Ishmael. Matter of fact, this is one of the 10 tests which Avraham Avinu went through. So Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, listen to her, Shema Bekoilo, listen to the voice of Sora, and send her out. And what happened? Send her off. And how did he send her off? Almost with a jug of water, with a little food, and almost died. And Chazal tells us, how come when you're sending her off, so give him enough money, enough food, he heard that he has to send off your child. So send him off properly. And they almost, okay, Chazal tells us that he became very feverish, so therefore he drank more water than normal, so the water ran out, and she's told that the son Ishmael is going to die from thirst. How could Avraham Avinu, this human lover who takes care of everything, okay, finally sending away your child, sending away your soul, almost should die in the desert? And Rashi says, because Hashem told him to chase him out because he's a Rosha, he hated him. He gave him the minimum. He didn't give him one drop more than he deserves. He's a Rosha, has to be chased out. So here we see also very good greatness of Avraham Avinu. Also Avraham Avinu, in emotion, the human emotion, he was very hurt as to send off his son. But when once Hashem told him to listen to Sora, and she's right, and he shouldn't be in house, means he's a Rosha, immediately he totally was not considerate about his feelings, and sent him off like an enemy, almost to the point to die. See also greatness of him that we do not allow our behavior should be governed and controlled by our feelings. We allow the mind should control the feelings. If the mind says Hashem chase them out, so it has to be. But that's beside the point. Here comes the Chasam Sofer, and it has a very revolutionary insight into this. Totally turns it around. When the Torah says that it was very hard in the eyes of Avraham Avinu to chase away Ishmael, because of his son, it doesn't say which son, because of his son Yitzchak. It became a dialogue of education. Soremeni says, I want my Yitzchak to be isolated and protected, and I want a protected, isolated chinuch. I don't want him to have any kind of influence with Ishmael, with the outside world. Ishmael is an outsider, brings in all kind of bad influences. I don't want my son to have any kind of bad influences. That's what she wanted. And that's what Avraham Avinu didn't like, says, you're not training, you're not educating the child properly. We have to train our children that you should be able to take up the confrontation and not to be influenced and not to be afraid. You should be the company of Ishmael and grow up for Yitzchak. As you're going to later see with Yaakov Avinu when he was 20 years in the house of Lavan, and he was not influenced by Lavan. It says, in Lavan Gartiv, Tarek Mitzvah Shemata, I leave the Lavan. And that he kept all Tarek Mitzvahs. That is the health education is that we should educate our children, that they should be able to be in the world and take, be confronted to the world and still stick out to the Yiddishkeit, shouldn't be affected. But when you want to isolate your Yitzchak, totally isolated from the world, it's very unhealthy. One day he's going to get out, he wouldn't know how to resist the temptations, you're going to fall. And this is an old discussion in the Mechamchem, how do you educate your children? Do you extremely isolate them, as so many wanted it, or do you give them a more liberal, open-ended chinuch, and let you know how to fight? Let's turn, some people know television, the others have a television, but they know what to watch, what not to watch. You have a video, to know which videos you want to watch. But suddenly said, I don't want to know anything. No, Avraham Avinu is a very logical argument for the benefit of Yitzchak. He wasn't even thinking of Yitzchak. He said, choice of Yitzchak, he didn't like it because of Yitzchak. It's very unhealthy education, this. It's just like you move to Meishorim and isolate yourself for two months in total isolation, or you go to a modern Orthodox community and let them open, daven yeshua, with mix with kids, with all kind of things, and let the child be open, let the child. That was the dialogue which they had between themselves, the discussion. Obviously, what does Hashem do? Who could decide such a who is right? Only Hashem. They didn't fight because I'm right, you are right. We want to know both what Hashem wants, so let's ask Hashem. So Hashem says, listen to Sora. Sora is right. Immediately says, send them off. Not only send them off, send them off with hate. You didn't give them food, you married him because you don't deserve it. You have to be chased out of my house because you're detrimental for Yitzchak. I can't show any compassion, any pity even at you. Yitzchak has known that he has to hate you. Tachlisino sanesin, says David Melech. I hate. I'll show him I hate. It's not. He can't be neutral to such influences. Okay, it's not good for my child, but he's a pretty nice guy. There's no such a thing. If it can't be with you, you have to cut it off totally. It's a nothing. No, obviously Soleimani was right. But then we see the same discussion we're going to learn later was, and obviously the first Shalom Bayis problem, and a couple had a problem with it, and Hashem had to be the mediator to make Shalom Bayis, the marriage counselor, was that this was the first open disagreement between Soleimani and Avraham Avinu. The fighting over a very good point. To chase out the steps, sorry, not to chase out the steps as we take it literally. So Hashem had to decide. Hashem told him, listen to Sora, Sora is right. The second Shalom Bayis case, when ultimately I didn't see eye to eyes, again documented into the Torah, is Yitzchak and Rivka, second generation. Okay, they also the same thing. They have a twin, they have Yitzchak and they have Esav and Yaakov. Yitzchak loves Esav, and Yaakov, Rivka loves Yaakov. Again, two parents taking other positions. And comes the time that Yitzchak wants to give over the material blessing to his children. He wants to bless them materially. So he calls in Esav, we know the story. He says, go out and bring me some, go hunt and bring some meat. I will have a feast and I'm going to bless you. So Rivka when he overhears what's going to be, she knows, she doesn't even go into the discussion with Yitzchak. This old man is nothing he could argue with. He's stubborn. He knows what he wants. If she didn't influence him, now obviously he sticks to his decision. So pulls a stick, takes Yaakov, you know the story, this was Yaakov with a fur coat of Esav, and steals away the brachas. Steals away the brachas. Again, there is a discussion here. Question: who is right? Was Yitzchak right that he wanted to give it to Esav, or was it Rivka right? He wanted to give it to Yaakov. No, who was right? Rivka was right because the Hashem agreed with Rivka. But Rivka wanted, that's what Hashem gave. So of course, Yaakov got it. Not Yitzchak was wrong. Yaakov got it. What's going on here? What was the discussion here? The discussion was, obviously, Yitzchak loved Yaakov very well. But Yitzchak was growing up by the chinuch of Sora. That's, she picked up the chinuch of Sora. And what was Sora? A very isolated chinuch. He didn't expose his child. So here is Yaakov, was born a big tzaddik, a big master, a real koilo guy, singing like a learning. Here is Esav, he's a real Yisod, he's a field person, he's an outside person. So Yitzchak understood, why did Hashem give me a twin? One loves to be on the street, the other one wants to be with the Medrash. And am I? Esav is going to do this. Zvulun is going to do the business, he's going to support Yaakov. Yaakov is supposed to sit and learn. It would be catastrophe to give the material blessing to Yaakov. If Yaakov gets material blessing, he's going to leave the yeshiva. He's going to become a businessman, and we're going to lose Torah. So therefore, Yitzchak didn't want to give material blessing for Yaakov, because he was raised under the influence of Sora, which Sora says a total isolation. So he wanted to isolate Yaakov. Yaakov should never have any business to be on the street. While he will make a living, so I'm going to give the blessing for Esav, and Esav is going to have to support Yaakov. Here comes Rivka, took the position of Avraham Avinu. As it really was, because Yaakov, when he went down to Lovan, he said, in Lovan got the Tarek Mitzvah Shemarti. I lived with Lovan, but I still was religious. I kept all my mitzvahs. So So Rivka says, Rivka knows how to trust Yaakov. So it's not good. You don't have to isolate Yaakov. Yaakov has to be trained. Let you go out to the business world. Let you get the material blessing. And let you be there, Yaakov. That's supposed to be. It's actually he, Rivka, took Avram's position. And Yitzchak took Sora's position. And who was he right? Again, Rivka was right. Altus takes the opposite position. So what's the matter? All those women are right. Sora is right. Rivka, it doesn't matter what position they take. It's an open contradiction. How come Hashem is giving all those rights to the ladies? Like, that's how it was. And the answer is, the question is, on what age are we talking? When the discussion was with Ishmael and Yitzchak, Yitzchak was a mind with a little child. In the home, there's no room for Ishmael. A Jewish home has to be absolutely clean of any outside influences. And that's the way a child has to be raised. If Hashem says, Avraham, Shema, Avraham, listen to Sora. But once the child is raised, once the child gets such a strong, solid foundation, chinuch, totally isolated from the world, gets away and is proud of his role, he gained it. Because it's very difficult. The main thing is that you should be proud of your role. You should really be happy with your role. Because if you can't transfer this message to your child, that you should be proud of his role, should be happy with his role, he's never going to make it. If you can't work happily in your life, toil happy life, to go through all the tests, you're not going to make it. You must fail. Simcha is the foundation of Judaism. And when there's no simcha of your role, there's no way that you could make it. And there's no way that you could transfer for a Jewish child that you should be simcha, not having the world to start from when he's continuously exposed to the world. Because before he gets a taste of Torah, he already tastes the world. The world is always there before. The Pesach HaTosrei, the first Shalom Aleichem the child gets when he gets into the world, gets in the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Tov only comes on the Bas Mitzvah, Bar Mitzvah. The Yetzer Tov hasn't got any holding on the child. Only when the child becomes a little much mature and he realizes the price and the price that you pay with Yetzer, how stupid he is, how foolish he is. You know, why children have to be foolish and have to be cruel and have to be making mistakes and so to recognize that you don't accomplish anything if you don't go take with the Yetzer Hara. So when Yetzer Tov comes and you start learning it. So therefore, if you don't isolate the child, no way can you transfer the message to be happy with your role. And if you're not happy with your role, you must fail. Then you're going to fail. So therefore, if the child is young, so remain is right. But once the child grew up, Yaakov was a big yeshiva, he was 63 years old, it was yeshiva, and after that, now he has to go out to love. Now Rivka is right. Rivka knows that he could handle a material blessing. But going back to our point now, how could you always be, how could Kulam Shomulatav? We said, so remain, no. She lived for 127 years, all different situations. She would have pushed that button, she would settle the button at any given moment. She had such a harsh, terrible, painful event that she went through in life. She was captured twice, once by Paro, once by Avimelech. A terrible, terrible, embarrassing situation, personal attacks that she got. But she accepted all Kul B'Shom L'Toyva. How could that be? How could it be? It's a very beautiful insight. We know that. Do we have any imagination? Do we have any imagination? What our happiness will be, Me'ez Hashem, when the time will come to be happy? Can we have any imagination? So of course, of what is a Jew? We spoke many times about it. This is Lotzatos' beautiful statement. What is the purpose of a man? Why have we been created? Do we know? Do you have a statement? Why are we here? The tape recorder is here to record. The chair is here to sit. Why am I here? What is the prime purpose that I was created? And we talk and talk and talk and talk and we don't get it. We have been created to enjoy. Hashem created us, he wants to share himself with us and we should be joyful. We have been created to receive happiness and pleasure. And to prove it, when you look at the first man who was created a full 100% product, undamaged, before Adam sinned, what was his role? Sit in the Gan Eden and enjoy. Came into Gan Eden, enjoy life. Enjoying life. Knessel the Tzapas is a beautiful state, but Nivra Odom Eile Kedil Sanek Al Hashem. A man is not good for no other reason, just enjoy yourself with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just enjoy yourself with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, in order to enjoy it, you have to work for it. You have to earn the enjoyment. If you don't earn the enjoyment, as much enjoyable it is, but it's not full enjoyment. It's a big difference when you worked very hard to prepare a Shabbos meal, a Friday night meal. You cooked, made the kugel, you made the fish, you made the fly, you made everything, you set the table, you made everything beautiful, beautiful. You worked very, very hard for it. And which when a guest, which you invited to come to my Shabbos table, and even serving him, giving him the best portions. Now, we're both sitting at the same table. We both eat the same meal. There's a tremendous difference between the one who prepared it and the one who didn't prepare it. The one who didn't prepare it, it's nice, it's pleasure, fine, but it's not the maximum enjoyment. It's not your preparation. What makes the enjoyment enjoyment? Your preparation. Where is the enjoyment? The enjoyment is in Shabbos. Yam Shekul Shabbos, that's enjoyment. Misha Mechem Be'er, Shabbos Yechul Shabbos. The one who prepares before Shabbos, he's going to eat Shabbos. The one who doesn't prepare before Shabbos will not eat Shabbos. Also eat Shabbos, but it's not the maximum enjoyment. You didn't prepare it. So therefore, Hashem gave Odom Edition, that job, Rav Dom Shama, what you have to do for, you have to do something to prepare for your enjoyment. And obviously didn't prepare it. I thought it was sin. Now, since you have been created for the purpose of enjoyment, there's many different enjoyments in the world. What is the highest performance of enjoyment? There is no high performance. Would you guess? Some people enjoy sports, some enjoy food, some whatever, money, whatever it is. What is the highest level of enjoyment? There's no higher enjoyment. The answer is, no. The Torah is the way how you accomplish enjoyment. The highest enjoyment is relationship. Relationship. Relationship, you can't have relationship with two. Just like yourself. You want your entirety to relate with the other. And to become one. To become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To enjoy yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't matter what it is, but it should be always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Relationship is the highest need of a person. We would not believe that the little infant, the minute he starts crying, what is this baby crying for? For relationship. To prove it, once hug the child, give him a cozy, warm shelter, it's quite very happy. A connection. A man is here to connect. There isn't a greater pain to be disconnected, to be alone, to be lonely. Obviously, the connection is eventually to Hashem. The connection to Hashem, to urge to want to go back for whom, where we come from, where we come from. I don't know if I didn't make the research, but I was wondering, I was absolutely wondering if they make a research, if they can. Obviously can't have conversation with the infants which are just 5 minutes old, okay? But I'm absolutely positive that the baby was just born screaming and screeching and things, and what to do with the baby, give it back to the mother right away, the mother takes it right away to herself, and they cozily warms it up, right? And that quiets down the baby. She would give it to a stranger woman. A woman in the other bed. It was exchange babies. This baby for this one. This one. Two women giving birth. And just exchange babies right 5 minutes after that. It wouldn't have the same impact if not the natural mother comes back. Relationship means you're yearning to come back where you come from. Because we were one. We want to come back one. That's actually the love between husband and wife. Because we were one. Our neshamas were one. Our bodies were one. Therefore, when other magician was lonely, was no good at he's alone, and he tried to connect to all the creatures, as everyone comes in pair. So Avraham Avinu saw that kol masher bora kushboko balom zugos bora. Everything kushboko created in the world, he created pairs. Everything was paired. Everything in heaven and earth is paired. It's a tavi yitzara is paired. Everything is paired. Another magician named all the creatures in the world, and all the animals, and all the birds, and all the fishery. Everything came from Adam, and he knew everyone, and he named it the proper name. And right after that, he named it after that, and Adam was alone. What did he see? See, everyone is paired. And everyone is enjoying, he's being paired up. Everyone is a purpose to paired up. And I haven't got to be paired up. So therefore Hashem gave him the wife. He took up the wife from him. And when he opened up his eyes after the anesthesia wore off, and opened up his eyes, and he saw a beautiful woman next to him, says, "What? It's a matzum of sorry. You are a flesh of my flesh, a bone of my bone." And therefore called her Isho Kimi Ush Lukocha. Called the name Isho because it comes from Ish, comes from me, comes from man. So the whole connection between husband and wife is because we were one, we were separated, and now we urge to get together again. Same thing as the neshama. The neshama which was given, the neshama which Hashem had blown into Avraham Avinu, which is the Adam Arishon, the higher neshama. The higher neshama is also the neshama of Adam, the Tzelem Elohim. Says the Zohar that neshama had a male and a female part in him. In that neshama, what is male and female? What is literally male and female? The male is the mashpia, the giver, and the female is one receiving, and they need each other. The giver has to be able to who to give, and the receiver has to be for who to receive, and they feeding each other. There is the female is giving an opportunity for the male to give. The male is give fulfilling the female, and that makes that gives the pleasure for both. That's what is anegal Hashem. So Hashem sliced that neshama in two halves and gave it into two bodies. And now Hashem says you have to get together and work very hard to make that unison, to become one flesh. Flesh means one identity. There's no two identities. There's not two. One totally saying to each other. And that exactly is replayed between us and Hashem. Hashem took a part of him and blew it into us. And Hashem wants us to come back to him. And when we come back to him, he has the pleasure that I got myself back to me. And we want to get back to him because we come from him. A person has a natural inner yearning to reconnect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Spirituality is not an outside factor which comes from the outside. It's an inner, deep, 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 deep need. It has been corrupted, it has been selfishly eroded and diverted. Therefore, there's such a drive of spirituality. Where mankind all kind of diverted spirituality. This is a way disorder. All kind of different religions. All kind of mishigasim. Which because there is definitely urge, inner urge of spirituality to reconnect from where we're coming from. But if it's corrupt, they do that in a diverted way. So we have been created for one thing: to have pleasure. And the greatest amount of pleasure is relationship. The question is, what is the pleasure of relationship? What is the pleasure of relationship? The pleasure of relationship is totally in opposite, in contradiction of any other pleasure which we know anything outside of relationship. Outside of relationship, pleasure is a fulfillment of a need. You love food because you're hungry. So you love food. To prove it, because once you ate, you can't look at it. Once you ate, you can't look. How much can you? You love chocolate. So you're going to go and drive and do and buy anything to eat until you get it. Once you got it, then you ate yourself, stuffed yourself to death. I wish you would never have it. We only know from pleasure. See, there's two types of pleasure. There's the genuine pleasure, which is called the absolute relationship, net relationship, and no other thing. Reconnecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu, reconnecting to each other, that is the ultimate pleasure which has been created for. And there is a substitute pleasure. Once, if it didn't reach the pleasure of relationship, we need substitute pleasure. And what is substitute pleasure? Fulfillment of a need. You need this, so as long as you pursue it, you're happy, you see, I'm getting it. You're only happy until you got it. And once you got it, Who needed it for? So what is the real pleasure? So for us it's very hard even to talk about real pleasure because we never taste them. Very seldom do we taste the real pleasure that we are happy just because we have each other for no reason. For absolute, absolute no reason. Because our reason is fulfillment. In other words, if you take the pleasure of relationship between husband and wife in a family mode, so you could say husband and wife, they love each other, they give each other, why, to have children, then they work together in order to feed the children, then to marry the children, then to raise and to be a member in the community. We have needs. We have to meet certain standards. And we're pursuing those standards. And if we work hand by hand, giving each other, helping each other, we see accomplishing. Fine. You're happy. Is this the ultimate pleasure? This is not the ultimate pleasure. You must have those ends meet, work towards a certain ends to meet. And that makes you happy. But once you get there, what's happening then? So imagine when people are always meeting each other by working together, fulfilling each other, whatever that is. But once they have nothing what to do, there's no challenges, everything is nice and quiet, everything. Imagine both of them are 96 years old, sitting in the nursing home, and just looking at each other. They know how to be with each other. They can't do anything anymore. Just being with each other, like you see the two pigeons, you know, sitting together in the river and looking at each other and enjoying each other's company. We don't know this. Because all our life we were just out to get things, accomplish things, and give and fulfilling each other, so and so. All of a sudden we're both handicapped, we're sitting doing absolutely nothing, just staring at each other. What is there to stare? Now this motion which I just brought you now is actually our problem. Here now we're living in this world, and we know that here we're working towards getting together with Hashem, the Sanhedrin of Hashem. We're working all for Shabbos. So we're working, Baruch Hashem, we go out shopping, and as we're cleaning the house and cooking, setting the tables, Baruch Hashem, we're working. Hashem is giving us the money, we should have what to buy, giving us the seichel, giving us the energy, giving us the know-how, we're doing it for cooking. So we and Hashem, we work both together for Shabbos, fine. It's going to be Shabbos. What's going to be Shabbos? No more cooking. Shabbos. Shabbos is in Shabbos. Nothing. We're sitting in the nursing home now. And looking at each other forever. Can you enjoy it? What do you enjoy then? What do you enjoy? Here we work. We enjoy the work. We enjoy accomplishment. We pursue it. We have problems. We overcome it. We do it. We work with each other. Does any one of us in couples look forward, when will we be finished with all our worries, with our problems? We should be able to sit next to each other in the wheelchair and look at each other. is anyone looking forward for that? No. So what do you expect when it's going to be in heaven? Tris Amesim, Mashiach, it's going to be Shabbos. We're going to enjoy Hashem. There's no mitzvahs, there's nothing there. We're just sitting with Hashem, being together. So what? So how we feel it. And interesting, one of the greatest accomplishments of man, and I give you one of the greatest accomplishments of women. The greatest accomplishment of man is Torah Lishma. Our personal is Torah Lishma. It's a very high madrega. There's many, many interpretations. Of course, everyone is true, but in different levels. But the man says, somebody has Torah Lishma, he accomplished everything. He's called Oilum Kedailo, Nikro Oyif, and loves everyone, everyone loves him, and the whole world he gets along with, nobody stands in his way. He has the whole world, he made Oilum Haba, he sits in Oilum Haba. Like Rav Shach once said, all you need is give a standard Negumar and Siddelen. They give a standard Negumar and Siddelen. That's kind of Torah Lishma. Now what is Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma means you learn for the sake of learning. Not of the sake to know how to. The Chassam Sofer says very openly, if somebody learns Hilchos Shabbos in order to know how to keep Shabbos, it's kvaldi because of mitzvah of learning Torah, mitzvah of keeping Shabbos, but it's not Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma, you learn Torah for the sake of learning. No accomplishment, no achievements. You learn it 100 times, you know it 100 times, you just repeat the thing and just learning, singing away, learning. Doesn't give you any new information. It's not in order to put it to practice, because you put it in practice too. Or you're learning things which you're never going to put to practice. It's not relevant at all. It's just Hashem's story. You're learning story. You ever saw a person who knows how to sing very well? Sings. What is he singing? Not for money, not for anything. He loves to sing. He loves to learn Torah. Because Torah Lishma is you get a touch of pleasure that you have a relationship with Hashem for the sake of relationship, getting nothing in return, just being together. Some learn Torah Lishma. You learn, Hashem is your chavrus. Hashem learns, answers you. You're clicking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the En Olam Habo. It's like Shabbos. What is the pleasure of Shabbos? It's very nice. The Pesach Shabbos is all work. You worked hard. You drop dead in the end of the week, and you're going to get the rest. And you didn't eat proper meal. You didn't see the children. You didn't see each other. So finally comes Friday night. You have a nice Shabbos meal. You all eat the singing and everything. And before you look around, the husband dozes off already. He's sleeping. And then he goes to sleep the first night. And once in a week, which has a good sleep because he doesn't have a tabashir in the morning. You know, Sumeach. You could sleep longer. And Shabbos afternoon. What is the pleasure of Shabbos? Is this pleasure of Shabbos? And suppose you have to show me in a place that there's no food, there's absolutely nothing. I end up in a hospital, I end up in a prison, I end up in stuck in an airport because you couldn't fly because of Shabbos. You have absolutely nothing, and you're sitting doing nothing and enjoying Shabbos, sitting in company with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with no children around, no food around, nothing, no singing around, nothing. Shabbos, nothing, net. Torah Lishma, Shabbos is Me'entar Shabbos. It's an enjoyment for yourself. I'm sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm back home. What do you expect of home? Nothing. Imagine you were not home. You didn't see your mom. Who knows for how long? Who knows for how long, you know? After being 20 years, you didn't see your mom. You didn't see your dad. You've seen everything. Finally, coming home and sitting down. And you say, can I do something for you? Okay, just sit. Just, let's sit together. Just do nothing. Shabbos is, you've been entitled to come back. You chase that in the Gan Eden, go out to the world. Shabbos says, come home, stay home, do nothing. Shabbos, of course we do sightings. Love with husband and wife is also the main love is nothing, but of course we do sightings. The momenting is nothing. So how do we expect so that man to get a touch of this relationship which does not serve any fulfillment except being together with each other? Man is Torah Lishma. Women, what equals Torah Lishma? Tznius. So said the Chazanish. He was asked, how could women attain that level of accomplishment and achievement, of happiness, of serenity, feeling a touch of the Gan Eden, which man feels by Torah Lishma? What is woman? Says Tznius. Now what is Tznius? Tznius means Amit Hashem. The Shechina is next to me. Tznius is a very natural. Rochel Imenu, Rochel was the example of Tznius. She was beautiful. She was Tovis Efei Marim. She was beautiful. She was radiating shine and beauty. Why? Because she's satisfied. She's with Hashem all the time. She had troubles. She had no children. Whatever she went through, but she was beautiful. Leo had cried out eyes. Leo is the performer. Leo is performing, bringing children. Huna, Levi. Bringing Malchus, bringing Yehuda, bringing Torah, Yisachar. In other words, in a family setting, we have two functions. The prime function is to be together. Under any condition. Just relationship with no performance. Relationship in happy, that we look at each other, we're happy with each other, with no performance, no accomplishment. That's the prime goal. But in order to get there, we have been given jobs to do. That's Leo. You have to work and dust and so on and so on. So it complements each other. Therefore, Leo is never satisfied. Leo always cries, always try to do better. Therefore, it's not a contradiction when we say, for one, we should always try to do and do and do and do. In the same time, but once you accomplish doing, sit back and enjoy having each other. And that's Leo and Rochel. Those are the two mothers which you have in a home. But we is the prime. The prime is Rochel. And Rochel is always beautiful. Rochel is never, always. Rochel is the son Yosef. Yosef is always beautiful. Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim. He is a slave. He is a prisoner. He becomes next the vice king. And Sinatra, he's always the same Yosef. He radiates and shines in beauty, never disconnects with him. Hasn't got his brothers, hasn't got nobody around him. And he's beautiful. He's Yosef. He carries it. That's Rochel. That's the ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, we have to do. We have to also work. And that's Leo. Leo means the poverty never satisfied to always try to do Ishtalos, or doing Torah and Kul and everything. But never at the cause that if she's so overworked in Ishtalos, that when the thing doesn't go we want, or there's something is not going to be, that you shouldn't be able to happy. Then you always have a relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's beside the point that says, Rochel to the Rochel Bavaka al Beneo Kenenu. Rochel is crying for children because they're not here. Are we not here? We're wonderful Leos. We're wonderful Leos. We all work hard, Torah and building, Tzedok and Chesed. We do. We do wonderful Leos. But where is the Rochel? Where is the happy, radiating today? So Tznius Rochel was a tsenua. Tsenua means that you are with Hashem. What is a tsenua? That even in total privacy, you're very kusirt, you're very, very humble. Why? Because Hashem is next to you all the time. And Hashem is always next to you, always. In other words, when you see a person, so a person's in the hospital, a person doesn't know what's going to be tomorrow, and a person has been talking, smiles. That's a rochel. That's a rochel. And but at the same time says, I don't have to damage, I have to do anything because I'm happy anyway. No, you have to be a layer too. You have to do ishtarlos. You have to not do this. But after the damage, I did everything. This, I'm happy. I'm smiling. That's the combination which you have in both. And they complement each other. Now going back, we said we're looking forward. We have been created to enjoy ourselves with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The biggest enjoyment of Kodesh Baruch Hu is relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Relationship. Just be with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Without Torah Lishma. Just be with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What are you enjoying there? So let's see, very interesting scenario. Let's say a man is climbing Mount Everest. Why is he climbing Mount Everest? Can you tell me? Why is he sugar? Endangering his life, working so hard, risking it, and climbing. And he's enjoying every moment of his climb. The more risky it is, the more he enjoys it. Right? What is he enjoying? What is he really enjoying? What is he really enjoying? He's enjoying because he has a goal to get to the top of Mount Everest. And every moment, every second, the harder it is and it's approaching, it's getting harder. The more he enjoys already while he's working very hard because he's getting to his destiny. Once he got on top of the Mount Everest, what is he enjoying? Captain, what is he enjoying now? All of a sudden a helicopter comes and brings the other person on top of the Mount Everest. There are two people at the top of the Mount Everest. Who enjoys it, who doesn't enjoy it? The one who came with the helicopter, it's very nice, he paid $100, put him there, fine. But the one who works very hard, he enjoys it. What are you enjoying? My work, which I work so hard. It's not being there is the enjoyment. Being there is enjoyment, how hard you work to get here. So it's a catch 22. Oh, it's not a catch 22, it's a plus 22. It's not a catch plus 22. While you work hard to get there, you're enjoying already because you're going to get there. While you're up there, you're enjoying it because you worked hard to get here. So one is feeding the other. We work hard. Leo works very hard to come to Rochel, to come to the relationship, we do nothing. The harder Leah works, while Leah works to get to the top of Mount Everest, she's happy that I'm approaching my destiny. And once I got to the top, that's Rochel, to get to my destiny. And once I got to my top destiny, what are you enjoying over there? My hard work, which I've worked before. If you would have got here without work, it wouldn't be enjoyable. So how could Soleimani not be happy at all occasions? You're going back to square one. He says, Soleimani was happy, Kulam Shavala Taiva, the entire 127 was all one chain of happiness. But there was so much hardship. In the hardship, she enjoyed it. The hardship, while she had hardships, she was ready to push the button because she knows, what will I enjoy there on the top of Mount Everest? What I'm struggling now. The Fum Tzara Agra. Our struggle of life, we already could be happy and enjoy our present situation because I know this is what I'm going to enjoy there. This is called Torah Lishma relationship. In other words, it's wrong to say a couple which worked very, very hard all their lifetime, husband and wife, raising a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful family. For what are they working? To get to the, eventually to the nursing home. You shouldn't have to do anything, just enjoy each other being alone. What will enjoy that? Look how hard we work to get to this point. It goes to the Torah Lishma. So it comes up when we understand this. We have to understand the first basic things. We are here to make a relationship with Hashem. In order to make a relationship with Hashem, we have to work very hard. Working hard brings us to relationship. While we work already, we enjoy that this brings us to the relationship. Once we relate, what do we enjoy? We work very hard to get here. We came on our own. We were partners in the situation. We were not brought with a helicopter to the situation. And this is reality. This is true. So we have the two parts of ourselves. We have Leo and Rochel part of ourselves. Soleimani was the first main mother. The first Echo Torah was the Avram was one. Sora was one. They had both sides in themselves. The both shares they had in themselves. And they knew exactly the name of the game. What it is. The name of the game is, you know, you're playing chess. Take a pair, but you're playing chess. What are you playing for? They want to win the game. He wants to give a mat. He works very, very hard. He enjoys it. Why? Because I'm getting to my point again. Once you got the mat, what are you enjoying? I work hard to make it, to produce it. So when now we're working on to get there. Once I get there, I'm enjoying how hard it was to get here. That's exactly how life comes out. Our present life and present work is totally not disconnected from our total future, what we're working for. It's one circle. It's one circle. We're feeding each other all the time. And that's what Misha says, Lefum Tzare Agre. According to our pain, is the reward of life. The more hard life it was, and the more difficult it was in all areas of life, the more you're going to enjoy our retirement. We work for the retirement. But the retirement has to be enjoyed. It's been enjoyed to go and how hard we work for our retirement. So if you work for your retirement, you're not going to get in there. You're happy with it. You're saving money. You're getting there. This is Tatsuki. This is Kilim Shovim. I'll take your questions. Your question is a very good question. Therefore, we need continuous exercise. We all come to a certain point where we lose control. As much we know in our mind that we love the pain, we want it, and we appreciate it, we feel the closer with Hashem. You were not in the beginning of the class. We discussed it that this was called Sora Bekir, but Sora left. There was a level, a layer in Sora, which inside, with the skepticism, looked at it. How is it possible such a body give birth to a child? In other words, Sori Menu, in the level of intellectual, she was just as happy as Avraham Avinu. She knows she's going to have a child. She accepted it and she was just as happy. We explained in the beginning, in the deeper end, in the deeper end, there was a level which it's maybe not even in control of, wasn't even in control of Sori Menu. Wasn't even in control of Sori Menu. And there was the Nikuda. So what has to be done? So Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, why did Sora laugh and being skeptical? That was a psak given to Avraham Avinu. What is Avraham? Avraham is supposed to educate. We're talking about as one unit, not talking about two separate people. Avraham is two separate people, all in the same person. We have the part of Avraham, which is the intellect, which is supposed to make exercise with us. And we have the part of the woman, of the Sora, which is part of the emotion, of the feeling. And that's the real mitzvah, is to synthesize the brain into the heart. They should become one. Whatever the brain knows, the heart should feel. That's our goal. Tom and Tim and Shemel, so be a whole. Whole means total synthesizing these two components. And if Sora Menu was a level in depth of soul, which she was laughing, and she couldn't comprehend this great miracle, the psak went to Avraham Avinu. You didn't make enough exercise. Your intellect didn't make enough exercise. So what you said before, yes, we all know that there's a certain limit of cripples, of crippling, of handicapness that we have not full control over that. So because we know it, we have to make all the time exercise. And what is the exercise? This is Shema Yisrael. Understand that you understand. Shem Elokein, Shem Echot. We have one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hafti Shem Elokein, Baruch Hu. You have to talk about it and speak about it. Never finished. Never stop talking about it. And there is always a level, you know, it's not so pleasant to mention it, but it's unavoidable. We're all going to go through this, which I think a person who is passing away from the world is very, very sick and is properly preparing himself for his departure. There's a prayer, Mesiris Medor. I'm making an announcement. The sick person makes an announcement. It says, I am acknowledging and I'm confirming that I love Hashem and I love Hashem and I believe in Hashem and I'm a servant and I accept everything and I never had any complaints. It's a whole confirming and so on and so on. And therefore, if the last moments will come a crippling grief, a pain, questions, doubts, because we're being told that the Malach HaMoves, the one who pulls us all our life, and he sees that we're leaving the world, he likes to give the final blow and to detach us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the last seconds of our life, his question puts in doubts in our mind, where we're right, where we're wrong, and frightens us to the point that we should define HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not even HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even maybe to the point that we just maybe totally powerless to oppose this, to oppose this crazy thought. This crazy thought. Now, don't we have here and there sometimes some crazy thoughts in our present lives? Maybe nice and healthy, doing something else. You always have some crazy thoughts coming in. We just totally came in. I didn't invite to them. But we're pushing it off. We're shushing it off. Don't be stupid and so on and so on. And passing by. We also have crazy thoughts. Maybe we also feel something I should not. Who says and this and this. But we have the koyach. We're young enough, strong enough that you could push it off. But here is a person who's on his deathbed and he hasn't got the power and the koyach to fight these crazy thoughts. So we make him serious, my daughter. We make an announcement. Make a confirming announcement before that. I'm announcing, this is me. This is the real me. So and so and so, I'm accepting, of course, I'm accepting all the pain, all the good, everything's fine, good and bad. And therefore, if the last moment he comes, he drains me a cup, tells me this and this and this and this, it's not me. I'm totally denying it, it's not me. And that's enough. That's enough. So that answers also when we go through. By the way, this is the Akedo, the beauty of the Akedo Yitzchak. Why do we call the whole story of the Yitzchak Akedo? Akedo means tying Yitzchak on the altar. Why don't you call it Oilas Yitzchak, the sacrifice of Yitzchak? Sacrifice of Yitzchak, why do we call it Korban Yitzchak, Oilas Yitzchak, Hashem's Haleyu Lo Oilo, elevate him for the Oilo. So why do we call him Akedo? He was tied. And he says, Akedo Yitzchak Hayom Berachman Tisko, the tying of Yitzchak today, you should with mercy remember. Remember as the tying of Yitzchak. The answer is, Hashem didn't tell him to tie Yitzchak on the altar. Didn't tell him, just away, bring him up. Who asked for that? Yitzchak asked for that. And Hashem, Avraham and Yitzchak go together to be slaughtered. And finally, Yitzchak recognizes that he is the one who's being slaughtered. He is the sheep. He is the one who's being slaughtered. Hashem, Yitzchak went together. So Avraham tells us that Yitzchak went with the same happiness and confidence, the one who's being slaughtered, as Avraham Avinu is the one who is slaughtering. But the last moment before he was put on the altar, Yitzchak asks Avraham Avinu, please tie me good down my hand and feet and back. As happy and excited I am to be privileged to be slaughtered for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but I'm still afraid, I'm still a human being. Maybe the last moment I'm going to see this sharp knife getting close to me, I'm going to tremble. And if you tremble, you may be passing the shechita, the slaughter may not be kosher. So please tie me so strong that even my natural reaction will tremble, I shouldn't be able to pass the shechita. That's called tying, Akedah. And that's what Hashem appreciates. Hashem appreciates that we know our limitations and we are aware of it and we do everything in advance to try that we shouldn't be damaged. So it's nothing wrong when a person knows himself and knows his weakness and knows when things, the pain comes so crucial that he can't have the straight thoughts in his mind. So in advance, you're tying yourself, you make yourself all kind of exercises before that in thinking about and talking about making a serious matter. Has also shared this story, this joking story, which is a true story, they said. One of the old Yerushalmis. Yerushalmis are very cool and jokey, very cool, very unemotional. He was dying, he was in his deathbed. And his wife was carrying away, crying bitterly, losing her husband. And he speaks up to Shandl, what are you crying? What are you crying? Don't worry, you're going to come after me. I'm not leaving you behind. You also come after me. Why are you crying? And then he says, do me a favor. Can you take my hat and put it on my feet? So she thought he lost his mind. He says, why do you need your hat on your feet? He says, it isn't the sun, the last moment of life. It's a hurry comes, some of men comes to raise your cup, all kind of crazy thoughts. Let it go to my feet, it shouldn't go to my head. He wants to mislead the stomach man. See, here is a man dying and has all in his mind. It's not panicking. See, right. We have a certain point in the last moment, but we make all our lives, we're making homework on that. So how do you make? So after every little incomfort, discomfort, Hashem sends our way. Trouble with chinuch, trouble with the child, trouble with parnosa, trouble with health, trouble with this, trouble with that. All those little things is the time of the exercise. He says, Hashem, it's you and it's good for me and I'm accepting it and this and this and this and that. So when you make all, Hashem is building us up for life, Mama Shalaf, for the last moments of leaving the world, towards those moments, is a lifetime workout that we shall not lose our mind. We should be able to accept Hashem is doing that and doing it happily. This was from Tzara Agra. Yes. That's exactly what I said, that we very well advanced in Leo's performance, very behind in Rochel. Leo's performance, so I learned during davening, I also say that our grand Bob is going to come up in three semesters, they're going to be very embarrassed of us. They're very ignoramus compared to us. You know, much more than they. Today, our daughters, the women, know, daven, learn everything. You give classes like that. My grandmother would boil me out, why are you giving classes for ladies? What does Leo need that? In Leo, it's very much advanced. But at the same time, Leo is advanced. You have a problem with sneers. You're not satisfied with our role. Rochel is behind. Rochel mevaka al b'nei. Rochel cries. Where am I in the picture? He totally ignored my existence in the picture. That is really bad. We lose the Jewish pride. That just be happy being a Jew. Just being. Never mind what you have. Be happy with that. No, we all want to perform. If I don't get that, you're getting depressed and working hard. And then we panic. And then it's good. In other words, the two combinations, Leo Rochel, it has to be synthesized all the time. In a Leo Rako, the Leo has to cry and daven, try, but never at the cost of ignoring Rochel. That's the beauty of Soremenu, had them both. So therefore, Soremenu, she had the struggle, she was captured and everything, she went through all the hardships, but in the end, Kulam Shovim L'Toyva, she was a Rochel, she was all happy, she was beautiful. Why the Torah emphasized Soremenu was beautiful? Rochel was beautiful. Yosef Tzadik is beautiful. Bjorkman was beautiful. Bjorkman was such a beautiful man to say. Bjorkman was extremely, extremely, extremely beautiful. And the same Rabbi Yochanan, Gemara says, he had a pendant, had 10 children, all died. But the 10th child, I took a certain component of the 10th child, was it a bone, a tooth, or something like that, and made a pendant out of it. And was hanging a pendant. Every time I repeat that when parents lost a child, they went to comfort them, for Nichem Avelim, used to come to them, used to take a serious. He said, one of my 10 child. And here I am. So what is the comfort? Look how beautiful I am. It did not affect it, my beauty. Bjorkman is extremely beautiful. Extremely beautiful. It had not affected my beauty. I lost 10 children, they're going around with a pendant of a bone of my demitence of my 10 child. But that beauty is still there. That exactly is the beauty which we're supposed to see. The contrary, sometimes, even if Hashem trusts us to be in a generation of so much suffering and so much pain and so much misyoinous, that should even enhance our beauty, says we are worthy. And that's what Hashem wants. When a person smiles in suffering, smiles in misyoinous, that shows the greatness of a person. So, and what we're missing today, we're not missing in Leo. We all well performed, we all perform good. The performance of Judaism, which is Leo, is wonderful. What is missing here? Rochel, Mevaka, Bnei Rochel, Christ, Hashem, Nenu, I don't see you. And therefore, that's the sneers problem we have. Take that. It's very interesting. I spoke many seminars in Eretz Yisrael, and they all admit, all the Khmer, that it's no problem to transfer to the children, to the daughters, to learn and to dominate. They won't pass to a door without kissing the mezuzah even twice. The fruming out. What comes with sneers? Always a problem. Sneers is a problem. Why? Because sneers shows that you're not proud of yourself, and you don't have an inner happiness. Don't accept yourself the way you are. So you need attention. You have to show off for somebody else to get attention. So you're not satisfied with yourself. That's Rochel. Rochel is sneers. Leah is not the performance. In performance, you're right, but sneers is missing. Hashem should have both together.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com.